Don't you just love easy questions? Really easy questions. How many persons are in God? And the answer, there are three persons in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Dave has done a stellar job this morning of exploring that three-in-oneness and one-in-threeness. The great thing about Dave having explored it means you've got it. That's it. Shall we just all go home now? No. Oh, well, yeah. I don't have any chocolate, There are three persons in one God. However, as Dave said before, it's not about an abstract idea up here or a diagram, although those help us. It's about a relationship. See what I did there? I know the musicians are behind me, but unless I turn to see them and reach out my hand and touch them and talk to them, I won't know them. How many of us in this fellowship look around and think, you know what, that person over there, I have no idea who they are. I'm really thinking about getting us all name badges. No, I'm kidding. but think about that. Think about not knowing somebody who is actually your brother and sister in Christ. Now imagine it on a bigger scale. God as Father, Son, and Spirit, and you've never really related to him in those ways. Have you ever thought of speaking to God the Father, praying to God the Son? Have you thought about the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? No, the Bible doesn't spend time unpacking diagrams or illustrations. Rather, the Bible gives us the triunity of God as something to know because it's the way God reveals himself. The Bible unpacks Father, Son, and Spirit for you to relate to and to explore with him. I want to touch on 2 Corinthians. Got all my slides mixed up there. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11 to 14. Now, this is the close of a letter, the end of one of Paul's letters to a church in Corinth. And for those, many of you who may know, Corinth is that wonderful city in Greece. Well done. Yep. It's on what they call an isthmus. Anybody know that one? Isthmus? Look it up. I won't explain it now. This isn't a geography lesson. This is the end. That's it. An island with two. Yeah. Three. It's one island with three sides. Love it. Okay. 2 Corinthians. So Paul is writing to this church. And the problem is this church has been dysfunctional. So glad that's not us, eh? It's dysfunctional. There's disagreements. There's trouble. There's immorality. There's a lot of stuff going on that shouldn't be going on. And Paul finalizes his message in this way. This is what he says. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, I'm not encouraging this.
I say amen.
Just to note, that is how family members used to greet each other. It wasn't common in the community of the New Testament church to greet each other in this way unless you knew the person. This was really emphasizing your family, you know each other, your brothers and sisters come together, greeting one another with a holy kiss. It was saying to somebody, I accept you as part of my family. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Did you see the Trinity mentioned there? Not in word, but in the concept and in the relationship. Well, first of all, let's just look at that plea, because I think it's really important to understand this plea. There's a word there I want us just to hang on a little bit, and that word is strive. Strive for full restoration. Strive. What does strive mean? Is it about, well, my goal today is to have restoration with my church family or something like that? Striving is working at it. It's hard. It's not always easy. It's sometimes we have to put our pride down and our humility up. It's a hard word, but it's something which Paul uses. He says strive for full restoration. Be at peace. Be of one mind with each other. Now, it's not easy to always agree with one another. But the exhortation here is unity as opposed to division. What Dave said just before I came up was spot on. Division must not be tolerated. If we disagree, we need to find godly and healthy ways to restore fellowship. Otherwise, we find ourselves opposed to God's nature and will. But why does Paul say strive for full restoration? Encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace. Why? There's a lovely word there. And. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Reverse that. If I don't strive for full restoration, if I don't encourage, if we don't encourage one another, if we're not of one mind and we're not living in peace, then we will not have the God of love and peace being with us. Now that's pretty scary. As a church, not having God with us, what's the point of that? This was Paul's outline to say this is how critical it is that we live in peace. But he didn't say it just to remind them of what they should be doing it. He did it to emphasize the Trinity, about God, because this is where he comes to in verse 14. And this is the main passage we're going to be looking at this morning. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is what we're aiming for. This is the final goal. We may not pay much attention to final words in letters and emails. I usually finish mine with every blessing or God bless, and people kind of summarize over it. I know some people don't end their letters at all. They just give me one word replies, but that's okay. We know what they're trying to say. It's a bit wordy, but here, Paul is saying this intentionally. He's got intention in his words. He's using his closing remarks to ground his plea for unity because it describes God's unity. We try to understand God not from our perspective, which is kind of linear and distinct from anything we've ever known. God is to be understood from how he reveals himself. Through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is one, unique, exclusive creator and sustainer of all things. Yet God expresses himself as a community. Father, Son, Spirit. Each characteristic is distinct, yet part of the same substance that is God. It's a bit like trying to understand that three-dimensional abstract diagram from a two-dimensional viewpoint. I am partially sighted in one eye. I know a few others are here, and I don't know if it's the same for yourselves. I can't see 3D. If I put on 3D glasses, it won't do me any good. I'll see one color, but not the other. It's a bit like that when we're viewing God. He's more dimensions. He created the dimensions. So how do we expect to understand him from our two-dimensional perspective? Do you remember this picture we used earlier? This isn't the same one you saw, but it's the same word, same shape. How many of you here see a two-dimensional triangle? How many of you see a three-dimensional triangle? Some people struggle to see the 3D. I would have to really think about it to see it, and then I go, ah, I can see it. My eyes have to look up from the diagram to the Creator. That Father is God, Son is God, Holy Spirit is God. They are distinct but one. And why does this matter? Why are you telling us this again, Dominic? Dave's been going on about it. He gave some chocolate out, I think unfairly, not to me. But anyway, we need to get our heads around it, don't we? We can't just pray to God and forget about his revelation as Father, Son, and Spirit. If God is saying this is important, then it's important. But why is it important? God expresses himself this way because he is showcasing his unity, his diversity, his community, and oneness. Something we can never obtain, but something that he is offering. Let's come back to this passage. The point of this Trinity is not, as we've heard, to fully understand. There's got to be some mystery about God, but we should try to grapple with the threeness and oneness of God, to develop our faith and understanding. And this year, we're looking at discipleship. We're looking at exploring our Bibles and talking together and saying, how does God relate to you? How does God relate to me? What am I struggling with? And maybe I'm scratching my head over this three in one. The Trinity is better understood by a way of God knowing us. God is saying, I'm going to know you as your Father. I'm going to know you as the Son. I'm going to know you as the Holy Spirit. Do you notice that every time Jesus speaks of Father, Spirit, and Son, it is in the way God knows us and how God holds us in his hands. Have another look at this passage, verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we start. That's where we start. That's where Paul ends, because he's talking about unity in a divided congregation. How can you have unity with somebody who you disagree with? Remember this, every soul under God who has been saved has had to come through the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. No one claiming to be loved by God can say that they have not come through the grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He is the gate. He is the path. We all come through Christ to get to the love of God. So that love of God comes through the grace of Jesus Christ. Paul does not separate that grace from love and fellowship. In fact, he emphasizes, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. There's no separation. It's one sentence. It's one idea. They come as one. Community is seen throughout the Bible, from its opening words through to the promised new beginning. God dwells in his fullness in that community. He is not abstract. He is personal. So note that last word again, describing the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Spirit. So you've had the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, through whom we get through that grace, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. There's that word again, fellowship. God wants fellowship with us. How do we know that fellowship of the Holy Spirit? But with one another. How often have we shared the peace here? Maybe not very often. Well, we've gone around and said, peace be with you. And the reply would be, and also with you. You're sharing peace of God, not your peace, but the peace of God you yourself have received. Trinity points us to a shared community, a shared responsibility for one another. Do you realize that? You are responsible for your neighbor. You are responsible. Maybe you've received help in this church. Who have you helped? Maybe you are part of this church family, but you've not really found your position in this church family. You've thought, well, how can I serve the greater whole? Find that place. Ask God, God, where can I serve my church family? Where am I serving my church family? Because God brought me into it by his grace. So I'll serve together to show that I belong to Christ. I'll take you back to the mountain of God when the Israelites came out of Egypt and they feared God. They blocked their ears, for his awesomeness was so great. I take you to the prophets and the signs of God, the wonders God expressed, where he showed his love and let his spirit rest on people he called to lead. I'll take you back to when we meet Jesus, when we meet God in the flesh, experiencing our three dimensions of life from his God perspective. Let me introduce you to Christ, who forgives your sin and my sin, where he calms the stormy sea. He heals the sick. He rises from the grave. He promises and gives to us his Holy Spirit. He points to the Father and says, I do the will of the Father. He binds us together in fellowship. He guides us. He convicts us. He counsels us. He draws us into the triune relationship we find in God. This Trinity connects us socially. It is the ultimate in social media. Think about it. He connects us. He links us. But not through a keyboard, not simply through a book, but through God's revealed word and living it out experientially. We may not be able to understand the infinite mystery of the Trinity due to our finite minds, but we can better relate to God through recognizing and exploring how each person of the Trinity relates to us and develop that richer experience of God. So let's come to this. Do we ever think about Jesus Christ and pray to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the grace that you showed me in the cross? Do we say, Father God, thank you for your love and your loving kindness that you express in the Psalms? Do you ever say, Holy Spirit, counsel me to use words of wisdom, of grace, of kindness, of goodness? Do we address God in these three ways? I'm going to show you a book very, very quickly. Get it out. It's called Enjoying God by Tim Chester. I've brought it out once or twice before, possibly before Christmas now. I can't recommend this book enough. Tim Keller recommends it as well. So if that's going to be the cherry on top, there you go. But I can't recommend this book enough because what it does is it explores your relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It points us back to a relationship with God using the Bible and using practical everyday experience. If you want to fully enjoy God, you need to engage with the fullness of who God is. You know, we have to dig to find history. We need microscopes to understand biology. We need telescopes to explore the universe. And God gives us the means by which we can know him. Imagine our experience of God being confined to books alone. Imagine our understanding of God being found in a lecture room or church message alone. That's it. That's your only experience of God. Imagine forgiveness only being found in a church building from a priest only once a week. Imagine a new life being found only one day a week or one week in a year. Imagine finding God every day. Imagine experiencing his fatherness, his son, his Holy Spirit every day. Imagine what it would mean to have a father standing with you in every aspect and experience of your life, in your pain, in your suffering, having the son, Jesus Christ, crucified on the cross, knowing and recognizing your pain with you in your hardship. Imagine having the Holy Spirit guide and counsel you, bringing verses of scripture to your mind when you're lonely or afraid. God's triune nature is a direct reflection of how we should relate to one another. I want to read you some words from this book. I've got them up on the screen as well. When you pray, think of addressing your words to the Father through the Son with the help of the Spirit. Or when you read the Bible, think of the Father revealing in his Son by the Holy Spirit. Or think of the Son communicating his love to you through the Holy Spirit. Think about this just for a moment. I'm reading on a bit. How does the Father relate to you? How do you relate to him? How does the Son relate to you? How do you relate to him? How does the Holy Spirit relate to you? How do you relate to him? God is Father, Spirit, and Son. God reveals himself socially. He's not about religion, he's about relationship. It sounds a little bit intimidating. It sounds a little bit scary. And maybe you've never experienced God in that way. But wouldn't you like to? Wouldn't you like to start to know God in his fullness? Maybe we'd be a bit like the Israelites at that mountain, cowering in fear and blocking our ears. That's why God gave his son, Jesus Christ, a a good shepherd, a friend, a servant king who came and washed our feet, who tore bread and said, eat this, this is my body broken for you, share it with me. And he gave us his Holy Spirit so that even when Jesus wasn't with us in body, he was with us through his Holy Spirit, guiding us, comforting us. Have you prayed for that today? Have you prayed, Father God, through your Son, give me your Holy Spirit today. Renew my faith. Strengthen me. God reveals his nature, his desire to be with his children, you and me, through community. Explore God through reading about him in the Bible. Look for how he reveals himself and what he calls you to be, you and me. Explore yourself with others. Explore that faith of yours with others in this church family, either through small groups, prayer meetings, activities during the week. Get together with prayer partners, pray together. Share your frustrations, your worries, your concerns, your anxieties together, because that is community. Call on the name of Jesus Christ who died for you, for that is community. Seek the grace of Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and bring him into your life so fully. We've sung some wonderful songs today. My throat was a bit raw after all that lovely singing, but it was wonderful. But I do invite you today to start a journey with God in a way you never have before. I invite you to explore God, not just by yourself, but with others, in a way you've never known before. Pray to him, ask him, seek him with all your heart, and he'll be found by you. Knock, and that door will be opened. Ask, and you shall receive. Let me close.